Hello. You might not recognize me by my name, Elizabeth Augusta Skinner Platt, but my Madison roots run deep. My name on its own does not reflect the history of my ancestors, but they were among the early settlers of New England and among the founders of Madison. When a woman was married back in my day, it would have been unheard of for her to keep her maiden name. But if we look back at several of my ancestors and even my own children, we have found ways to keep our heritage visible. Many of us, for example, kept our maternal and paternal lineage intact and visible in our names. For instance, you may recognize the names of my great-grandmother, Artemisia Meggs Hand, my grandmother, Artemisia Meggs Hand Scranton, and my mother, Artemisia Meggs Scranton Skinner. I, too, used my maiden name, Skinner, as a middle name when I married into the Platt family. However, if you see my name in Madison records, I am, as was also common during the time, referred to simply as Mrs. Frank Platt, one of Madison's summer residents. Thus, my Madison heritage is not always immediately recognized. You might say, but Elizabeth, you spent most of your life in Pennsylvania. This is only partially true, however. Because of my mother and grandparents, as well as my summer residence below the ledge on Boston Street, I have felt most at home in Madison. My mother, Artemisia Meggs Scranton, and her parents, Artemisia Meggs Hand and Colonel Ichabod Lee Scranton, and most of their predecessors were born and raised in Madison. And though my mother married William Skinner in 1857, and we lived in several locations outside of Madison, she, with my brother and me in tow, consistently returned to the place of her birth for holidays, summers, and regular visits. Even when I moved to Scranton, Madison remained my constant. This is why, particularly later in my life, I dedicated so much energy to celebrating the roles of my Madison ancestors and helping to preserve Madison's history. It bears repeating, I say proudly, that they had important roles in the founding and development of our little seaside town. My summers in Madison brought many happy memories, including the moments when I first became acquainted with my dear Frank. His father, Joseph Curtis Platt of Saybrook, had married a distant relative, Catherine Serena Scranton, who was one of the many Madison Scrantons. They had journeyed to Slocum Hollow, Pennsylvania in about 1840, where together with the Platts and others, they began to build the coal and iron company that eventually became an empire and changed Little Slocum Hollow to the city of Scranton. My Frank graduated from Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute in 1879 with a specialty in civil engineering, and we married in 1883. We lived in New York State near Rensselaer, and there we had two children, Margaret Scranton and Joseph Curtis. But upon the passing of his father, Joseph Curtis I, Frank was called back to Scranton to help manage the family's business. We moved back to that city, where two more children, Philip Skinner Platt and Leonard Scranton Platt, were born. During the summer months, I returned to the place of my birth to visit family. Frank was a like-minded soul and eager to return to Madison whenever we could. We built a house just below the ledge of rock south of Boston Street, near where Captain Ichabod Scranton's house stood. I continued the tradition of returning to the ledge each summer with our four children to enjoy the seaside and visit our relatives. I made a point to give my children as much time as I could with my mother, Artemisia, while she was alive. We were all enamored of her and thought of her as the keeper of our ancestral history. Most people do not realize that her uncle, Daniel Hand, the great philanthropist, lived together with her in the Guilford home during the final days of his life. on our visits, most people do not realize that her uncle, Daniel Hand, the great philanthropist, lived together with her in the Guilford home during the final days of his life. On our visits to that home, my young children could not help but fixate on the double occupancy outhouse hidden just behind the grape arbor, not 100 feet from the back door. After my father passed in 1896, my mother stayed in our Madison home for many years. Her grandchildren were utterly devoted to her, and my son Philip later wrote about her, "Never have I known a kindlier woman who never uttered a caustic remark." With my grandmother, mother, and numerous other admirable family members, I strive to emulate the kindness, selflessness, and devotion to others that I was so fortunate to observe and receive. I wanted to guide my children with gentleness, allowing them to make their own decisions while knowing they had unwavering support from their family. In later years, Philip wrote to me that the best elements of his character had been shaped by the home his father and I had created. I hope all devoted parents are fortunate enough to reap such an unexpected tribute from a child. As the years passed, I began to invest more of my time in the preservation of Madison's history. Scranton was a lovely place to raise a family, and Frank and I were fortunate to live in a home above the city with relatives nearby. But to me, the area was not as steeped in history as New England was. In 1917, when early conversations began to form in Madison about the creation of a historical society, I was eager to see Madison's history protected, and I wanted the society to have a central location from which to conduct its affairs. In 1918, at the age of 58, I established an endowment to help the society acquire this home in which you stand today. Upstairs, a space was dubbed the Platt Room in honor of our family contributions. Another effort to which I devoted much time was the preservation and restoration of Lee's Academy, which might have been turned into a saloon had the society not intervened. Frank passed in 1924, and I had to learn to live as a widow. I traveled with my dear daughter Margaret, boarding a ship for a visit to see Philip in Honolulu. We also went to Kingston, Jamaica in 1927. Broken hearts take time to heal, but mine broke a second time when my Margaret passed that same year at the age of just 41. I coped by relocating to my home at the Ledges in Madison, where for a time I immersed myself in the past. I sorted and donated more than 100 objects to the society in hopes that my gifts of clothing, furniture, household tools, photographs, and personal items would help visitors visualize life in the 19th century. Preservation requires foresight, and as I reached my final years, I wanted to leave something more than physical items behind. In 1942, I became the trustee of the Memorial Endowment Fund of the Madison Historical Society and invited others to invest in the society's future. I was also honored to serve as the society's chairperson in 1946. Soon, my dear Philip would take the reins, investing time to research and compile the stories, essays, and speeches of the citizens of Madison. His book, Madison's Heritage, would become a seminal text for every local historian. I cannot fully articulate my pride in Philip for his effort to keep Madison's past accessible to future generations. My final civic endeavor related to the smallpox burying ground in Guilford, purchased from Arthur Dudley by my husband Frank in 1912. Our ancestor, Captain Ichabod Scranton, was reportedly laid to rest there in 1760, and I arranged for this historic parcel to be deeded to the Madison Historic Society at the time of my death in 1949. How grateful I am to have had the ability and means to impact the keeping of the history of Madison during my long life. I am honored and grateful to think that my role as a donor and steward of Madison's history has been recognized during this extraordinary moment in Madison's history, its 200th year.